And here we are on YouTube. Let's see, I think I'm okay here. Kyle, you make it okay?
Okay.
You there? Okay. And Rob, are you there in Skype land?
I am there in Skype land.
Gila, you're here as well?
I am indeed.
And did we make it onto YouTube?
We did make it to YouTube, and I think we're sounding good.
And Alex, you're there as well.
I'm here as an afterthought. You got it.
Okay, great. Well, tough subject matter, but hey, we're all still talking to each other, so that's the important thing. And this is what life is all about, is occasional back and forth. We can take phone calls anytime, I guess. 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK. If anyone had any further things to say, whether it's about any of the stories we covered or advice to listeners or adventures that happened to them, please feel free to step forward. You know, I didn't even mention there was another quote-unquote assassination attempt. And the reason I air-quoted that was because there wasn't, I think the phone's ringing, there wasn't much of an attempt, really. You know, correct me if I'm wrong here, but you had a guy sitting in a golf course for 12 hours, and he didn't even fire a shot. He was spotted on the golf course, or you know, in the woods behind the golf course, and Secret Service. It's weird. Kind of Secret Service opened fire on him. That's what they say they did. I don't know. Is that standard? If they see what looks like a gun somewhere, they just open fire. They don't investigate. They just. I mean, what if it's one of their guys? What if it's one of the local cops? I don't know. That's just one of the questions no one can seem to answer.
I have no theories about how the Secret Service does or doesn't make their decisions.
Yeah, the whole thing was just kind of strange. I mean, supposedly they didn't even know Trump was going to be there until a few hours beforehand. So this guy was there 12 hours beforehand. What was he doing? It was just weird. A lot of weirdness going on. No, nobody wants to talk about this. Okay.
Well, I don't know. If he'd been observing the patterns for a long time, maybe there's some kind of premeditation for many months, and that by his estimate or something, this was a good idea to just wait it out, and eventually you might get an opportunity. Mm-hmm. It sure looked like he was staking out the former president.
We assume that because he always thinks he's the most important person, but maybe it was somebody else he was after. Maybe he was after one of the Secret Service agents. I don't know. I'm just trying to think outside the box here.
Yeah, there could be some waterfowl problem they're having at the golf course.
Maybe it's that. Who knows? It's just an awful lot of weirdness going on here. But no, it's a serious issue. What's particularly serious, though, is the Orwellian way that it's being portrayed by the Republican Party as the Democrats are behind this, which is just so weird and crazy, talking about rhetoric and all that. I don't want to get into it. It's not really the topic of the show, but it's happening. And we have a neo-Nazi rally going on in Nassau County right now, so I just saw that on TV, so I was just kind of distracted, I suppose. Yes, Rob, go ahead.
We have a happier news story that was passed to us over Mastodon. This was given to us by someone called Artificial with the comment, "Emmanuel, will we rejoice?"
Oh, tell me, and, the power went out at Nassau Coliseum and the neo-Nazi rally is canceled.
Not quite, no? But we had spoken on the main radio hour about AM radios disappearing from cars, new cars being made without AM radios. And today a House committee approved a bill requiring new cars to have AM radio. It passed the committee on a roll call vote, now heads to the House for final approval, and things look good for it.
I mean, what else are Congress people going to yell at in their car as they're listening to some, you know, right-wing guy on the radio? Yeah.
Absolutely. But story on The Verge notes, they're pushing the bill out of a concern that the slow demise of AM radio could make it more difficult to broadcast emergency information during a natural disaster or other related events. And conservatives are also worrying about losing a lucrative platform for right-wing news and media.
Wow. Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, you know, most of the stuff I hear on AM radio I can't stand, but I support AM radio continuing to exist because, you know, it's not the wave's fault. It's not the amplitude modulation. That's you know, that deserves to exist. We'll find stations to put on the air for sure. Okay, we have a phone call, right?
Yeah.
All right. Good evening. You're on All for the Overtime. Go ahead.
Hi, Emmanuel, calling from my cell phone hooked up by Bluetooth to a vehicle, to the truck, to the vehicle, to the cars.
Okay, was it tied to the outside or something, or?
No, I have my cell phone, the usual cell phone that I call in on, but I have it Bluetooth, connected by Bluetooth to the car's radio. So now I'm talking on the Bluetooth on the car's radio.
Do you hear yourself through the speakers?
I hear you through the speakers. I don't hear me.
Okay.
I hear you through the speakers.
And there's no delay or anything? You're actually able, and you can tell when I'm talking, so you don't continue to talk while I'm talking like you always do.
Okay. No. All right. I'm on YouTube. I have my phone.
Never know if he hears me.
No. I know. Because I'm not listening on YouTube. I'm just listening to you on the phone now.
Okay. All right. You listen to him on the phone. So you don't even know if you're going out over YouTube.
I don't, because I'm not on you, because I'm my phone. I can't
wait a minute.
On YouTube and be on the phone at the same time.
But you're able to hear the other people. Yeah, because that goes over the phone, right? So you're able to hear if someone else says something, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if Alex says something or...
He's not going to say anything. He's scared of you, I think.
Okay, let's see. What else?
It's just you know too much, you know, and what you do with that knowledge is of concern to everybody.
When I was in Long Island today, I went to the Smith Haven Mall. Never been to the Smith Haven Mall.
My goodness. Wow. Your life has not been complete until you've been to the Smith Haven Mall. My God. I don't think we ever talked about that before.
I was getting a new bit all in one. But when I was at the Smith Haven Mall, you know what? I ordered some food there, like teriyaki food or whatever. They give me a fork to eat it, but it's like the size of a child fork. It's like the size like a seven-year-old would use.
Maybe they're trying to tell you something. Maybe you were acting like a child. Did you ever think of that?
I said, can I have a bigger fork? They said, no, that's all we have. That's all we have. Oh, and, you know, but then I went to the pizzeria next door, a couple of folks there. They gave me a regular size fork.
Wait, but for a pizza? That doesn't make any sense. Why would they give you a fork?
No, because they have a regular size plastic fork because they sell like salads and stuff. So they gave me a fork from there.
This is quite a story you're telling us. It just keeps getting better and better. But is there anything else that might have happened to you in the last week?
Well, let's see. That's the size of silverware, well, plasticware, is getting small. Like, you ask for a spoon or a fork, it's like a spoon. It's a child-sized spoon.
I can understand them giving you less food. Why would they give you a smaller fork? For them? No, I know, but that's what they do. They give you less food. It's called shrinkflation. But I don't think that applies to actual utensils.
Well, they give you, like, one place will give you regular size plastic fork, plastic spoon or whatever, and it'll be nice. But another place will just give you, like, these spoons that are, like, half the size and that don't, like, if you'd use a spoon for, like, ice cream, it wouldn't work. It would, like, break.
Think of it as portion control.
Yeah, maybe you're getting a little chunky there, you know, and they're just trying to send you a message.
Well, when I went to get a straw for my drink... Well, first of all, they don't give you water. They said, well, we have bottled water. So I went to the pizzeria and got a cup of water there, and I got a straw from... And it's a small straw, and it...
And it's paper. It's paper. It's not plastic.
No,
are we going to hear about
paper.
That?
No, it's the plastic straw, but it's the straw that... you hear? A straw that like, breaks in the middle, like, sometimes when you're, like...
Do you realize ever since you've walked into Smith Haven Mall, there is nothing you have not complained about? And that is the true spirit of any mall. I realize that. But, boy, why are we hearing about this? I just... Wow.
Let's see. I got an all-in-one computer. Because, you know, even though my computer is, like, 4 years old, I wanted to get an all-in-one. Because it looks like a computer terminal, you know, like...
Okay. And what kind of computer did you get?
HP. By the way, maybe you would know. What is the difference between an AMD 7, a Ryzen 7, and a regular Intel 7?
Now that sounds like a Skype question.
The semiconductor?
Oh, you're not on Skype. Okay, but answer the question anyway. Sure, go ahead. Why not?
The rocket chip, like the processor chip?
Yeah. That's the difference.
Okay, but is one better? I mean, because I had to get... Is the one I,
no, they're like comparable. They're competing. You know, they're like similar products from different manufacturers. Probably there's a couple numbers on certain key features that you might say one has more of this and or less of that. That's something you got to determine for whatever you're building or whatever your need is. But for the average user, it might not be a big deal. It's mostly just a price thing.
Okay, so because I got the AMD chip, because the computer I wanted had the AMD chip and not the Intel chip. I thought the Intel was better, but what about the i5?
AMD's good at making chips too.
Okay, what about the i5 versus the i7?
The five rather than the seven. Most consumers look at the costs, but if there are specific attributes that you're looking for performance wise, that'd be up to you. And that's like you have to determine, like, hey, do I need more ability to do this or RAM or this okay, or the other thing? But I hope you made the right choice, and it sounds like you got the right thing.
Boy, Kyle, you're really good at this.
You could
do a helpline for the show.
I have a lot of skills. I know that's not what we focus on here.
This could be a whole other feature. This could be a whole other side to the show that we never did before. Kind of like what Personal Computer Show used to do, except, you know, not as grumpy.
Get something that works for you, and the most important part is all the things you do with it.
Wow. Write that down, people.
I'm not going to use it for gaming or anything. I just want to use it for, like, watch YouTube videos, go online, use it for, like, WhatsApp calls, like, because I use the WhatsApp computer app, you know, the desktop app for Windows.
Mm-hmm.
So I can, because the computer has a thing, a camera and a microphone, so I could use those WhatsApp calls or...
Sounds
or
perfect.
Or whatever.
Sounds like you're getting, like, a dedicated terminal for all your... all your sort of administrative tasks around the house or around your space.
Right, and because I didn't want to get the 32 gig RAM, because I don't need that. I mean, 16 gig is fine. DDR4 it is. I don't know why it's not DDR5.
Probably because it was chosen at the time of the design for this particular product, and that was available off the shelf as a component that the manufacturer could include in that design. And then by the time it got to you, it's sort of been succeeded by the DDR5 you mentioned, but it's still really capable memory or storage you have there.
I hope that answers your question.
You should be off to the races.
Does,
yes. Okay. He said it does, and that
Wi-Fi stick.
That legally gets us out of any further questions. I think Rebel, have a good night, and enjoy the Smith Haven Mall if you're still there, and enjoy the computer or Bluetooth and all the other technological advances you've made over the past week. Our phone number 802-321-4225. Please call in with anything. Good advice, though, Kyle. Good advice. And, you know, it's always fun having a new computer, but it's fun also having an old computer come back to life. And been doing a bit of that, too. And it's a good thing to mess around with.
Maintain your equipment, and it'll mostly be there for you.
Mostly, yeah. We don't throw things out. I mean, we're not, you know, piling up all this garbage, but, you know, actually putting it to use.
Well, I think e-waste is a problem that everyone... deals with, but the waste streams are becoming less heavy, I would notice. Mm-hmm. I would observe over the years. They don't weigh as much. There's not as much. So, in turn, that's like a lot less like things like what we used to have in screens, like mercury and heavy metals and stuff. But yeah, like the longer you can repurpose or just get some use out of a part of something, like, and it's if it's worth it for you to do that, do whatever it takes, then you're keeping it out of the waste stream.
That's
a
right.
Little bit longer than maybe it was designed.
Yeah. Well, you brought back to life a computer that we were using to encode videotapes, and we're doing that right now. In fact,
yes.
It's on the background. It's been this way a couple of weeks now. And
the disc arrays.
I was
in
just
the
watching an interview with Ralph Nader by Larry King, I think the year 2000. So we're encoding that in the background, and it's intriguing to walk past and say, oh, wow, I remember that.
Yeah, yeah, and I want to get good at using some of the stuff the Internet Archive's been developing, and mm-hmm. we've just been waiting to do this, and all the pieces were in place, and the machine kind of, I don't know, needed like a little bit of a sabbatical
It needed to collect enough dust to work better.
Wow. Well, that's a healthy attitude, I think. We have another phone call, I believe, right?
There is someone on the line.
Okay, well, let's go to them. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Good evening, gang. Tim in Connecticut.
Hey. Oh, God damn. How do we do that?
Something about resurrecting old machines.
Hang on a second. We're trying to figure out this ear-pitching noise that just happened. Did I turn that up too loud? Is that what I did?
Well, you have a tendency to turn your head when you're talking, so you put your
Oh, my God. That's the
right
ultimate
up.
Sin. All right.
Well, I mean, it might be affecting it depending on how loud you're bringing something up. And
can't
then if you're monitoring
head.
It, trying to hear them better, it turns into
All right.
this loop.
All right.
So
I won't turn my head.
Try not to put your headphones up to the mic.
I'll sit like a statue, all right? Good evening. Tim from Connecticut. How are you today?
I'm doing well, and I hope everybody's doing well there.
Well, I'm feeling kind of like a rock right now, but otherwise no complaints.
When you made mention of having spare and old equipment and repurposing it, I have a closet full of computers that are just simply old. They still work. They just got slow, or the hard drives were not as big. You know, tons of electronic stuff that even though I try to repurpose them and gift them off to like a library or something like that, they're like, oh, this is too old. No, we'll just throw it out. You know. I'm sorry?
You're repurposing old equipment? Say it again?
I was trying to repurpose old equipment, and one of the things that I always stop on is the fact that, well, my personal information is on this hard drive. You know, even formatting it and trying to clear it out, and then
yeah.
try to keep it in a...
You destroy it. You, like, drill
you
holes in
that,
it or destroy it, shred it, whatever you have to do.
And then nobody wants it.
That's a risk you have to take. Like, you can run different software to wipe it. You can degauss it if you have a very large magnet. But it's all about your sort of, like, comfort level. And, I mean, if you repurpose a drive and you're going to use it yourself, then you don't really need to worry about that as much. But it's a case-by-case situation. What was going on with this drive? Like, what was on it ever? And then where's it headed? And in some cases, yeah, you have to, like, shred it or destroy it because people just really don't want to have to deal with the liability.
Yeah, the local transfer stations where you can dump off a lot of your equipment, e-waste, batteries, etc., should have something that can shred a laptop.
Yeah, I don't know how many. I haven't seen hard drive shredders and that kind of like that ingenuity, but maybe they have it at some municipalities. It'd be great if somebody told us they'd seen one. But e-waste and the way they sort it is actually getting a lot more sophisticated because there's so many different things and variety and categories of stuff. But do get things to the right places. It's worth it in every case. Like I said, we've made a couple trips. It's always really inconvenient. In some places, you know, the lines and the hassle, but getting it to a place that's actually going to dispose of it, whether it's a chemical or whether it's contains chemicals, just do it for your own peace of mind and your own best effort. I know there's a lot of like variation in the results with how stuff is actually recycled, but by doing that, you're sort of clearing your space out and also moving on to better technologies and then allowing them to get some use somewhere for as some sort of material. Alex?
You would think that somebody would want a working computer for free. You know, but most of my stuff, I think the best that I have on my older machines is Windows 7. And that's ancient compared to today.
Tim Rebel would like to know if you want his old computer.
No, thank you. I have many.
Alex?
But I appreciate the offer. Is it safe to ask about the pagers?
Alex, first of all, you're muted again. So, or are you moving your mouth without making noise?
Well, it doesn't appear that way, so I think something happened with his configuration, but
why
yeah.
are you troubleshooting it from here?
Go ahead and ask your question, caller.
Well, I was asking if it's okay to speak about the pagers that went off.
Well, let's let Alex say something first, if he can do that. Go ahead, Alex.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you can hear me all right now, presumably,
now we
right?
can, yes.
Okay, good. Yeah, I had a setting changed on me with this. In any event, what I would suggest to Tim is, I don't know if he's checked it out, but depending upon the age of these particular machines at issue, I mean, and they're getting older and older every day, have you looked into the Vintage Computer Federation and whether they would accept something like this? I mean, I know you're concerned about your personal data being on there, but if you've got, you know, a 30 megabyte hard drive or something, or you know, in all likelihood, they maybe have something there that they could swap in. You know, you could take your hard drive out and just hand over the desktop together with the motherboard and, you know, VGA card and whatever. And these things, I think, are going to become, you know, really important for the next generation to see and feel and hold, because they are becoming rarer and rarer.
Interesting. And I'm sorry, that's Vintage Computer.
Yeah, there's something called the Vintage Computer Federation, and I think it used to be called something else, like the, you know, Retro Computing Museum or something. But they are over in Wall Township in New Jersey on Marconi Road, right? And I think they're part of the Info Age Science and History Museum, which is a really cool
museum. Vintage Computer Federation comes up very well in Google.
Yeah, there you go. So
vcfed.org.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very cool. I went there for some retro computing festival thing that they had a couple of years ago with Bernie S., of all people. And I think actually that was the last time I saw him. But we had a really good time there. And my son was, I don't know, 5 or 6 years old at the time. And he just had an absolute blast. And I think supporting these types of places is so important, if you can do it, Tim. And
move
on to your question about the
pages. Nothing in my closet.
You guys gotta hear each other. Go ahead, Tim. You were talking.
I said they're doing nothing in my closet, so giving them away is not a problem.
Exactly. Yeah. So what was your question about the pagers?
Just that, not from a humanity point of view, but I mean as a military point of view, where you can take a set of pagers given to a particular organization for use later on, I just don't know of anybody that could pre-plan that. That was like, wow. I mean, granted, there were other people that were involved, but I mean, even when there's indiscriminate bombing in some places, there's always innocence. But I mean, pagers, you know, you took down so many of your enemies. If you didn't maim them or kill them, it was just a wow. And who could have seen that coming?
I heard the same thing said on 9/11.
You know?
I think that's appreciably different, though. I mean, 9/11 wasn't a targeted attack of people holding electronic devices that related to a specific terror organization. I mean,
no, it was the whole culture that they wanted to obliterate, and they did a lot more damage too.
Well, Hezbollah are not nice people. Anybody?
I never said they were.
I mean, they're terrifyingly bad in many ways.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Really, really bad.
Yeah,
and
bad people.
So if you've got a Hezbollah pager on you and you're part of that organization, to a certain extent, I think you have to assume a little bit of risk that goes along with being an operative in a terrorist organization.
Well, let me tell you about one of those people. Fatima, I don't have her last name here. She was in the kitchen Tuesday when a pager on the table began to beep. And her aunt said she picked up the device to bring it to her father and was holding it when it exploded, mangling her face, leaving the room covered in blood. She should have known better.
They said that the way that the pager worked was to first beep, then vibrate, and then when you press the button to check the display, that's what set off the detonation.
So you're saying Fatima checked the display? That's...
Or at some point jostled it or bumped it against her leg or...
Yeah, kids, if your dad's involved in a shady organization, don't touch his stuff. Don't press buttons. For God's sake. It's wrong with you?
Something that the father brought into the house.
Yeah, so that means his kid gets killed. I get it. I understand the logic.
No, not necessarily that. If you are going to be a father in a household and a member of a foreign terrorist organization, you know, you are bringing in a very large amount of risk to the rest of your family. It's not just about you at that particular point. If you choose to become part of Hezbollah and live at home with your kids, you are bringing a great deal of risk with respect to their safety. I'm sorry. That's how it works.
Can you grasp that other people might not feel exactly the same way and might say that if you are a Zionist, you are evil, and therefore everyone around you must die? And that's a horrible thing to say. I don't agree with it. I don't agree with this either, though. I don't agree. Innocent people should ever be the victims here. That's all I'm saying. I don't know why that's controversial.
Well, I don't think it's controversial. I just don't see how it's realistic.
Well, it's
not that that's.
I didn't say it was realistic either. I can still condemn things that appear to be inevitable, and I think this is something that should be condemned.
I agree.
All right.
Look,
whether you're dealing drugs and you happen to have the revolver in the house and your kid finds it.
Okay, good example. So if a cop bursts in and mows everybody down in the room because you were a drug dealer, he's going to get docked in pay for killing a kid. That's just my impression.
If he announced first.
I don't know about the announcements first. I think that's not mandatory.
No, you're probably right. They will, they will do their investigation and find out that they did nothing wrong.
I don't think the who could have thought thing that you mentioned, I think that a lot of this stuff has been imagined and thought of. I'm not as wowed by that. I think that it's implemented that is the difference than this is some sort of novel thing no one's ever thought of doing or could pull off. So I think that's a little murky for me.
Right. Yeah, how could you grab 500 or 600 pagers and modify them all and allow them to work without a specific sequence to set them off?
Yeah, I mean, if you need the praise, yeah, that was ingenious that they were able to pull that off. But, not everything ingenious is good.
No, I agree.
Yeah, just because you can do it doesn't mean you ought to. Okay, so I mean, yeah,
Now that you have done it, you can't undo it, and it's going to be the reality moving forward. I just wonder, was that worth it? Not to mention all the attempts to calm down the situation everywhere around that region. That's all blown to hell now. Was that worth it?
That's all been shot away.
Yeah. So I think, there are evil people on both sides that do not want peace and will do whatever they can to make sure that war is inevitable. And they're going to get their wish. They are going to get their wish. And it's a damn shame. And I my heart goes out to the people in all the countries there that are victims of this. And I hope they're able to do whatever they can to tear down the tyrants that happen to be leading their particular nation.
Yeah, my condolences.
I'll leave it at that.
Right. Alrighty, I'll get off the lines and let other people in.
Okay.
Thanks, guys. Have a great time. Good talk.
Good hearing from you.
Go team.
I'm keeping my mic down because I seem to cause feedback whenever, like physical feedback and mental feedback. And I see Gila over there with her hand up. Go ahead, Gila. I'm going to turn myself down.
I do have something to add that has nothing to do with pagers or geopolitics. So our listener Lex, our good friend Lex, who is active on the chat, suggests that we have a new YouTube background image and that it counts the number of days since Alex has not been as number of days since Alex was muted. So currently, obviously, the count is at zero. And it would be, like days without an OSHA violation on a work site or something.
But we're not gonna need more than one digit for that.
That's what I'm saying. Right. So, instead of the van, we could maybe do like one of those flippy paper signs.
That would be good. You know what would be really good to have on the van, though, is the phone number that people can call. I think this was a suggestion from somebody.
I'm not going to drive around town with a phone number that people are going to call and harass us. I mean,
no, I'm talking about in the image of the van in the YouTube channel.
The image of the van that we drive around on a regular basis. You want that to have a phone number on it.
It is possible to superimpose images on top of anything.
Yeah, that would be lying, Alex. Discussion. That would be wrong.
I get what you're saying. This is pre-planning stuff. This is like talking about we should have stapled the articles before the show started. Come on.
I did staple the article before the
show
started.
This is great. We'll write these ideas down, but we can do this. It takes time, you know.
Thank you for recognizing that.
Build the graphics and stuff. It's been noted. We'll take that under consideration.
Stapled my finger by accident. Yeah, Gila, go ahead.
Also, one thing from the chat that happened 14 minutes ago and actually made me laugh out loud. It was when you had the squealy feedback on your mic, and a listener named Echo said, and I quote, "Cyber audio attack sounded like the brown note. I shat my pants. Thanks, E." I was deeply entertained. I don't want to be the only one who knows about this. So there you go.
Well, thanks for sharing that. And now we all know.
Don't look at me. I'm sorry about your AirPods or whatever the heck you stick in your ears just to listen to this blather. We are doing the best we can. Just turn the volume down. Sometimes things they get a little wild over on the board.
Turn the volume down. Lots of times I'm not loud enough. That's the problem.
That's how loud you're going with?
You told me to turn the volume down. This is down.
Okay, that's too far.
Is this close enough?
Okay, but go easy.
I don't know what
And don't
want.
Put your headphones
I
on the microphone.
Oh, my God. What am I supposed to do?
And now I'm too high. Can
now, you know
bring
what?
Me
I think,
down?
I think. Now, this crazy board we have, I think if I bring the telephone up, we get better. Yeah, see, we change.
Well, we get mixed into the telephone
but
audio.
But we sound better when the telephone is up a little bit, is what I'm saying. And that's why I have trouble with it, because I'm raising the phone and turning it down. Because if I don't turn it down, Rebel will talk all the time, and we won't ever get a word in.
What's the phone number? And I digress. This is all stuff
we can
talk about.
Why don't you look at the van? Apparently the phone number's on the van now. And spray paint. Thank you very much, Alex. 802, what is that, 321-4225.
I'm going to go take a break. I'll be back.
Yeah, yeah. Get one for me, too. 802-321-HACK, 802-321-4225. I got to get some air. Okay, Skype, yeah. And the show's yours until we get a phone call.
Yeah, very, very good. So going back to the whole pager thing.
You're just trying to get me to come back.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the issues that Tim brought up, I think that when you assess this type of thing, like any kind of operation, I think you have to think about a philosophical doctrine known as the doctrine of double effect. And the doctrine of double effect says that there is a difference between an intentional act and an intentional consequence and an intentional act with an unintentional consequence. So if we think back to, let's say, the Allied firebombing of the city of Dresden in World War II.
Again, this is not World War II. People keep comparing this to World War II. Compare it to,
It's three. I'm comparing nothing to World War II right now.
You literally are comparing it to World War II. You just said World War II.
World War II. I'm just using World War II as an example.
Compare
not it comparing
to Grenada.
Isn't that the exact same thing?
You know what? Let him go. Just let him go. Because my ears are driving me crazy here.
I'm using the firebombing of Dresden during World War II as an illustration of the doctrine of double effect here. Okay, so that it's not as a comparison point with Lebanon. So the firebombing of Dresden. Now, how we can gauge this morally is to assess whether the consequence was intentional or unintentional. Right. So if you decided you're going to firebomb Dresden. And you want to do it because you want to punish the civilian population there, right? You want to attack the civilians. You want to show the Germans that they can't screw with the Allies, and they're going to all suffer for what they did for all the other populations. And you know, it happens to also be an industrial base, but you also want to punish the civilian population there by inflicting a massive number of casualties on it. That's appreciably different from a moral culpability perspective of also bombing the same place because it's an industrial target that can knock out the manufacturing heart of the Nazis with the full knowledge that there's going to be civilian casualties. So let's say you know there's going to be something like 25,000 civilian casualties and you do it, but it's an unintentional consequence of your action. The moral culpability for that particular choice is less. Now, if you apply that same doctrine to what happened in Lebanon yesterday and today, those two casualties of children, which were absolutely horrible, but they were certainly not intentional. These were the unintentional consequences of, I think, an extraordinarily well thought out and highly targeted operation. As somebody mentioned in the chat as well, at the outset of the chat today, this is a hell of a lot more targeted than dropping 500-pound bombs everywhere. And 500 pounds, I think, is probably a tiny bomb these days, right? I mean, they're probably a hell of a lot greater than that. So I do think you have to look at the targeting of this as being solely with respect to people who are carrying pagers given to them from a terrorist organization, Hezbollah. Yeah, this is highly targeted, and those two casualties of children were really horrible. But I think I hate to say it, but that's not a terrible casualty rate for this massive operation that had a really outsized impact.
Okay, well, let me just say, mm-hmm. in all due respect, nice try. But I could look at somebody who blows something up in a crowd and kills a whole bunch of people, and have that person say, "I didn't mean to kill any children. They're unintended." What the hell do you think is going to happen when you blow up something in someone's possession who's in a house or in an office or in a mall or in a shopping center? You know, this kind of thing is inevitable, and you have to be some kind of moron not to realize you're going to hurt innocent people. So, no, I don't accept that. It is intentional. All right. And one other point. Yeah. Targeting the pagers, it's a tactic. It gets the effect of cutting off their communications. But, if you have that kind of ability, if you have those kind of resources where you can inject yourself into the supply chain and all that, you could have just made them all stop working and had the same effect on their communications without killing anybody. But that's not what they're interested in, is it? They want the blood. They want the mayhem. They want the panic. They want the terror. They want these kids to grow up traumatized. But what they're going to get is enemies for life, a lot more than they had yesterday. Yeah. And that's just, it's stupid. It's stupid. It's bad military. I'm not a military person, but I know bad military tactics when I see it. And this is either horrendously bad, or it's people who don't care at all about who they hurt or who they kill. And I'm not going to say which one I think it is. I'm not sure which one it is, but evidence is piling up. Kyle, you had something?
Well, I just think I'm hearing in this like the idea of, like, guilt by association, and this sort of pre-crime too. Because in the past it was like, okay, communications were intercepted, and you're a group of people planning some action that will itself, and we're going to disrupt that. Mm. This is simply, like, is owning a pager that is of a organization like Hezbollah necessarily a crime worthy of death with these casualties? And I think that choice, you kind of pointed out, to include the unintended consequences of this is a part of the calculation, and it was not weighted very highly. Clearly,
the logic isn't that having a pager is a crime. The logic is that being part of Hezbollah is the crime. And that's, it's well and good to say that they are a terrorist organization. They've been labeled as such, but not everybody in Hezbollah is a gun carrying militant. There are people who are in the political sphere of it. There are people who are, building things. It's what choice do you have growing up in that environment? You're going to be pulled into, in our country it's gangs. In other countries it's horrible organizations. And, maybe there are factions within that are trying to topple what it's become. I don't know. We'll never know. But it's easy when you label everybody as being worthy of death because they have this affiliation. And that is how you dehumanize. And that is how you sleep at night and kill a whole lot of people. I don't know. You know, I don't have the list of people. I can't judge, you know, if it was right or wrong or, you know, how many innocent people there were. I just know this way of thinking. It bugs me. It really bothers me a lot.
But they're, I mean, they themselves are essentially a death cult here. I mean, I don't think that we can say, you know, there may be some willingness on the inside. I do think you have to paint Hezbollah with a really nasty brush. I absolutely do. But I also think there's a big difference between a consequence that's merely foreseeable and then and another one that's actually intentional. And I think you're conflating the two of them right now, that simply because something was foreseeable, you think it was intentional.
Well, it sort of serves the purpose of that, like, if you affiliate yourself with this group, like you were kind of looking at and implying earlier, like, that, you know, you're going to have to look over your shoulder if you buy a pager or do anything, you know, even, and that isn't itself like a terrorist act. You're just joining up, or I don't know what their levels or who these people that, why they had pagers. They clearly weren't doctors, right? Like, but still, like,
no, I can tell you why they had, because it's a weird story. They basically assumed that they'd be spied on if they had phones, so they told everybody, get rid of your phones, we're going to use pagers instead. I mean, it's ironic as hell, no question about that.
But the pagers weren't part of a plot of 2,800 people doing some action, some particular thing. Just their day-to-day was enough of a threat to warrant their death.
It's, who knows what the pagers are being used for? Maybe to organize something, maybe just to gather for a meeting.
But
I don't know. It wasn't 2,800 people, because many of those people were civilians that didn't have pagers.
But sort of the warning, I think, right. The message. Right. I'm thinking, what is the message here?
I mean, think of it. It's
not, that's been pointed out.
It's been said only a couple of hundred, several hundred pagers were targeted, and nearly 3,000 people were injured, and over 200 of those critically. So that's, yeah, I don't know.
But the interest isn't like I guess preventing interceding and kind of disrupting certain actions. It's just basically besting each side, right?
Well, it's like, disrupting communication, but like I said, you could do that in many ways. You don't have to do it in this bloody way. And now that it's been done, the landscape has changed, and we will never be in a world again where this kind of thing is not something that we have to worry about. I mean, you know, we're constantly at loggerheads now with China. We get most of our electronics from China. So what happens when we really piss them off? Do we all have to worry about something blowing up in the future? And it could be anything from a washing machine to a car. You don't know anymore. It's just a step that I think we're really going to regret, you know, taking down this road. I don't know. Do we really want to keep talking about this? Because I just want
there's
to take
them up. No phone call. There's no phone.
I'm surprised there ain't listeners. 802-321-4225. Is there a phone call?
Yes.
Oh, this one's been on hold this whole time.
Sorry about that.
We're so sorry, caller. Go ahead. You're on overtime.
Is that me? Hi.
It is.
You guys, I'm from Suffolk County, but I'm wondering why we got all these guys from Suffolk County calling, and I don't have a complaint with that because I'm from Suffolk County. Or we're talking Nassau, and this is a worldwide web energy. Your Hope Conference, your Hope Energies, your whole entity of your off the hook from day one. This is bigger. So we got to. Something bigger, and I know you get calls and emails and da 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 da. I want to hook up with you guys. I can. I have your emails. I could just roll things by you that you'd say, I know, I see that. I know, I grew up with that across the harbor. I know that. I knew this, and cool. I know that property by the pool on Jericho. That's back to Suffolk, but let's go bigger. Years ago, I'm German, and I don't, you know, have, I, if I believe in a God, it doesn't have anything to do with my nationality. But I saw a film one time when I was young called Queen's Bench 7 with Anthony Hopkins. So you can find it. It's about the Holocaust, and it reminded me, because I wasn't on the right, it reminded me that this is a problem. This was a problem, the things that were done, and this shouldn't be. So how do we not learn? We were supposed to all learn. I do not think we were all supposed to all follow exactly what some people from that were victims from one of the religions or nationalities, because there were Czechs, there were Gypsies, It's not all about them. But moving on, we need to be further. We need to, when a guy gets back in office, we need to put him in check. This Bibi Netanyahu, I cannot accept that from my heart, and I have nothing against the nation and the Israel of God. I'm an Israelite because I was raised as a Christian, and I realize it's all the above. It's not about me. It's not about them. It's not about the Muslim. And the Muslim is a Christian because they believe in Jesus. Wake up. And this hatred and this... So what's the story? I got a couple old tire machines, and I make them work. By the way, I do that duplicate. I downloaded CCleaner from my past. Downloaded CCleaner last night and got rid of a whole bunch of copies of crap I don't need on my laptop. And it's freer. I'm just moving on. We can't do like this. We can move forward and have just great, great things going on. It's not your website. It's not you. I'm not getting down on you guys. Frankly, there's a lawyer on your team I'd like to just to talk to, not to talk and use a canoe with. I'd like to talk to him about possibly hiring him for representation. It's tricky to find exactly who and where he is because he was with several different companies. I used to use my first name in my title with my town. I'm going to change it to my first initial B from Brentwood. If you want to verify who I am, ask a guy named Ed, and here's a code. His mother drove a Subaru. He was driving his mother's Subaru. I know you know who that is. I know he uses a different name online, and I know he's a longtime member of your show and crew, and you pretty much grew up with him. I love that guy, but I don't see or hear him anymore. Can't we get to the next levels? Do you remember the tricycles we couldn't get on because it was so little, so they put wooden blocks on the pedals? Is that where we are?
We might be. Well, let me just tell you, write to us, oth@2600.com. That's the best way to reach any of us. And,
yeah, I got it.
Given us a lot to think about, and well said, I think.
One more. My 411, I'm just not blocks away, but I'm somewhat near. Let's say that telephone museum in Suffolk County. That's all you need to know.
What about the telephone museum in Suffolk County?
A couple miles away from it.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling.
Ed has been to my address, so you can verify me, and it's all good. And his energy that shared with my energy was positive, so there was nothing negative, so it's all good. All right, guys.
Thanks for the call, and thanks for the thoughts.
For years, I had no clue you had anything to do with hockey, but oh my God, I've been playing hockey all my life.
Yeah, the secret's out now. Okay, thanks again for the call. And we're going to open up the phone lines. 802-321-4225 is our telephone number there. I guess we have time for maybe one more, maybe two more.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Just dialogue between ourselves. Skype land people, you all there?
Yeah, most of us are here.
Good.
We're here.
I adjusted some of the levels, so...
Is it any easier to work with?
I think we're getting less of that high-pitched stuff as a result.
Well, I've been keeping my volume down. People don't tend to want to hear me talk in the first place, which, you know, everyone's happy. Was that a phone call? All right. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Oh, wow. I guess I'll mute the background. I've been a reader of 2600 forever. You guys used to be published in Borders and Barnes & Noble as a magazine.
That's right. Rest in peace, Borders. And we're still in Barnes & Noble.
Yes, yes. And in comparison to the pagers blowing up, I used to work with a ghostwriter in New York. They were Mossad, and there was that insurance company. But anyway, long story short, did you hear about the pager link being sourced from a Hungarian firm?
Yes, that's what we were talking about on the show earlier. I think Alex did some investigation on that.
That's yeah, right. Sorry, I was just tuning in. I just saw it live on my YouTube here, and I was excited to see it. I've just caught up with, I didn't know you guys had, I guess, two shows. I wish I was in the Suffolk area.
Well, actually, I don't know why everybody's talking about Suffolk. First of all, we didn't have any calls from Suffolk County. I think that guy was the first one, if he is in Suffolk County. And
where are you guys at?
The show actually comes from New York City. We transmit off of Times Square. So if you tune to 99.5 FM between 7 and 8, you'll hear Off the Hook. After 8, you hear Overtime on YouTube. So some of us are spread out in different parts of the metro area. Did you say you were at BNL?
BNL? No. Stonybrook. Stonybrook.
Oh, Stonybrook. You're calling from Stonybrook.
I'm not. I'm calling from Montgomery County, Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
I used to live up in Long Island and Garden City and Manhattan as well.
Cool.
Yeah. So anyway, really cool to see you guys doing your show. and where's the magazine nowadays?
It's definitely in print. The fact that people don't seem to know that is testament to what happened to bookstores. You can find us in Barnes & Noble. You can just go to 2600.com, and that's all the information. We publish digitally. We publish on paper. We publish for the Kindle. So we're very much still here.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to get off too off topic since I wasn't on the whole show, and
feel free.
I will be a future caller in. Oh, feel free? Okay. Good. Well, speaking of 2600 and the phones, and you guys just mentioned being able to buy your publication digitally, do you guys follow the data center realm at all? I love Digital Realty Trust, but can you imagine if something such as the pager attack happened inside of a data center?
Whoa, wow. I can't imagine about using a pager in a data center, but I can certainly imagine people using electronics.
Yeah, and in terms of the pager set, I can see why the attack was valid in my mind, assuming Mossad did it, or whoever, anybody, NSA, like, I don't know the attack target vector type stuff over there, but if it's Israel doing it, hey, I don't know. I have to say congratulations to Israel. I might go deeper than that, but whatever. Where was I? I gave myself a panic attack there and forgot everything. what was I saying? The symbology of a pager. Nobody uses pagers, at least in the U.S., that isn't a criminal or a drug dealer or a terrorist. Oh, and that's my husband Sal says, or a doctor, and you guys had mentioned that, though. But do doctors still use pagers?
I think some might, actually, because I remember reading a story about this. And, if you could tune into the frequencies that they used to use and see if they still have data on them, that's one way to find out.
Well, I know. They're unencrypted data streams, which is why I don't think it's very encouraged.
Yeah. Rob, do you have info on this?
I think the pagers were actually outdated even for the area. And from what I was reading, that's why Hezbollah was interested in them, because they didn't want to use newer technology that in their estimation would be more prone to being monitored or hacked or things of that sort. So they figured they were safer using technology that was more basic and outdated even.
I hate to keep coming back to this same old mantra, but landlines.
What's wrong with landlines? They're there. They work. They don't blow up. Usually they don't.
We've got fiber over them, mostly ripping the copper out where available, at least in this region.
I don't know about Lebanon, though.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Landlines. And just, yeah, landlines. I do miss landlines. I wish I was on a landline right now.
Yeah, we all prefer the sound, I think. Any other points you want to bring up?
No. Have a good night, guys.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling, and best of luck out there in Pennsylvania.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Do we have time for one more? What do you guys think? Not exactly bouncing up and down here. 802-321-4225. One more phone call, and that's it.
Yeah, just it's been an intense day for I think everyone here, and an intense week. And I can only keep asking that folks out there just take care of one another, and try and be kind and empathetic, whatever your positions on these things.
Yes, I agree with that. Yeah, entirely.
Me too, while we wait for this phone call to come in, 802-321-4225.
You know, I had planned on finally calling one of these ridiculous scam phone numbers that relate to, you know, these fictitious invoices.
Here's
and
the phone call.
Anyhow, there's the there we go.
Now finish your thought.
But anyway, I was going to use it tonight if we had some spare time. But having dialed it just a few minutes ago, it's already disconnected. So the scammers have already been reported. So, you know, one day soon, we'll get it right.
And good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Yes, hello, AT&T with a collect call from an Emmanuel. Will you accept the charge then?
Rebel, this means you can't call next week. You know that, right? So, you know what? You have a minute here. But you won't have time next week.
And why are there only 42 people watching?
I don't know. Maybe look in the mirror. Ask yourself that question.
That's pretty funny.
We're going to hurl accusations at each other. Yeah, so you have 1 minute, but you have no minutes next week. And please don't violate that. Oh, you'll have no minutes for the next 2 weeks after that. You know, it gets bigger and bigger. So go ahead. Go ahead. You took the last call. The very last one, it's like taking the last cookie.
Please call for long distance. Please call for long distance. Hello, ma'am. Ma'am?
If you're calling me ma'am, you're not going to get a response, and you have 1 minute left before we disconnect.
One moment, sir. I'm dialing the AT&T operator, the Pittsburgh International Operator Center. Okay, sir, that country code is 33, and the city code is 1.
Okay, you just gave me the country code and city code for Paris. I know that. I don't know why, and nobody asked. Nobody asked for that. Gila, do you have something to say? Go ahead, please.
I do, because we've now heard from two listeners who were trying to call in and couldn't get through because Rebel is.
How do you feel now, Rebel? How do you feel now? Yeah.
He doesn't.
Yeah, that's it. He doesn't feel any kind of empathy or regret or anything like that.
I wish I could say this was unusual. What shall I do with my other computer?
I have a suggestion, but you know what? It's before 10 o'clock, and that's when you can talk the way I want to talk. Actually, when I'm on the radio, I can say what I want to say. No, it's not a good taste. Rebel, that's it. Goodbye. He's done. We're back. All right, we're all here?
I think we should give somebody an opportunity to call. There were a couple people, as Gila noted, that wanted to call.
Alex, we have rules. What good are rules if you don't follow the rules?
Well, you know, there's always an exception. It's only 9 o'clock.
It's 10 o'clock in Nova Scotia.
That's true.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. Yep, the GMT minus 4.
10:30 in Newfoundland. You see what I'm getting at?
Yeah,
it's later than you think. It's a lot later than you think. And in the aforementioned Paris, it's three in the damn morning.
It's only 6 o'clock in California.
you're not doing yourself any favors. Fine, one more phone call. 802-321-4225. But, you know, I can't hold the last call. You took the last call over Rebel's head anymore. And we're going to give 55 seconds for that call to come in. If it doesn't come in, then that's it.
All right.
All right.
That sounds great.
And you have to talk until that call comes in.
Yeah. Well, we can just fill dead air. I mean, I'm a lawyer, so I can bloviate or abbreviate essentially on command. Right? I mean, these are the things that we're taught to do, to pontificate. I thought, always thought I'd be very good at filibustering in one way or another. And looks like Gila wants to tag team in here.
I certainly do, because I'm sharing another message from the chat, which people are on your side here. What Emmanuel is getting at is he's tired. Let him go to bed.
I don't want to go to bed.
He just woke up like an hour and a half ago, maybe. Yeah.
5 seconds, by the way.
Right. Echo, try it one more time.
And that's it. Sorry, time is up. We're done with phone calls. Kyle, you have something you want to say?
Nope.
You're holding your hand up. I thought there was a message to me.
Nope.
All right.
It was a
peace. Signal.
Oh, goodbye.
Goodbye. Yeah.
So long.
You gotta dial faster. Whoever's calling now, don't pick that up, Kyle. Because if you pick it up, then we have to talk, and we're tired, and we want to go to bed. According to somebody,
show us the way to go home.
All right. Any final words?
You're tired.
I am tired. Well, actually, you know what?
No, I'm talking to the audience.
We're in a hot room, too. You know, we turned the fan off because it's so loud. And there's no ventilation in here, so yeah, it's a little uncomfortable.
Oh, so some might say that the phone is blowing up tonight.
With that, we'll say goodnight to Alex for now and maybe for a while. Gila, Rob, pleasure as always. And Kyle, good to see you again. We'll be back next week, 7 p.m. on Off the Hook, WBAI, 8 p.m. Overtime. On YouTube. Write to us, oth@2600.com. Good night.